We continue with what I started last week, the message that I started last week. Because I found out that these messages will be lengthy, right? So I can't give it maybe all at once. I'll have to give you in parts. You know when you're eating, how do you take the food? Spoonful by spoonful, right? You take one of the bits we take. And so you eat spoonful by spoonful, and then as you eat, if you eat something, you're getting indigestion, so you need to eat accordingly, right? So we're looking at working to please God. Father, bless your word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Now, people are either working to please themselves, others, Satan, or God. Let me repeat that. People are either working to please themselves, others, Satan, or God. As believers, who are we supposed to be working to please?
God
and not man. God and not man, right? Isn't that so? So when you're working, who are you working to please?
God.
The Almighty God, right?
Amen.
St. John 8:29, this our Lord speaking says, He who sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Jesus, our Lord, always lived and worked to please God, His Heavenly Father. And He have left us an example that we should follow in His step. Amen?
Amen.
So if we're going to be like Jesus, then we must live and work to please God, our Heavenly Father. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Now, does God ask us to work for Him? I'm talking about believers now. God asked us to work for Him? Yes. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do it unto the Lord. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with who? What? When the word tells us in relation to Jesus, and the Lord is working with them, doing what? Conforming the word with signs following. The Lord is working with them. So thank God when we are working, we are not alone working. For we are laborers together with who? God. When you're working, God is working with you. Isn't that? Aren't you happy about that? Anything you do for the Lord is there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Good. Now what does it mean to work for God? How do you work, What it means to work for God? To have something named ability, right? Amen? And to work for God means that we use all our ability that He has given to us for His glory and for His praise. In other words, we use our ability as unto the Lord. To work for the Lord means that whatever we do it unto the Lord and not unto men. Because we're talking about working for the Lord. Whatever we do it unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. All right, New Living Translation rendered this verse as follows. Work hard, cheerfully, at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Now, when Paul the Apostle wrote these words, who do you think he was talking to? People in the church? What do you think? It could be applicable to the people in the church. But when Paul penned these words, who was he talking to when he said, whatsoever you do, it goes on to the Lord? You know who he's talking to? People that are working, people that were who? Employees, right? Employees. In other words, he's talking to people that are working in secular work. Good? Now, any job that you are doing, any work that you are doing, as long as it's not contrary to the Bible, based on the scripture, you need to do that work as unto the Lord. So that's why any place that you're working, and I'm talking about the secular work now, as a Christian, you're supposed to be the best. You know that? You're supposed to be the best because you're doing that work not only when people's eyes are upon you. You're doing that work as unto the
Lord.
You're doing that work as unto the
Lord.
The next time you go to work, don't complain or fret and fume. Say, Lord,
amen,
I'm doing this thing for you, Lord. And do you know, according to Scripture, that when you do that work, that secular work that you're doing as unto the Lord, you have a reward to get?
Yeah.
Or look, let me just pull it up for you so you can see. Because something you think I'm working so hard. I know that, like, there seems to be, I'm not getting any reward. No, you're getting two rewards. One, you're getting a salary. But that's not all. God will reward you as long as you don't work out in elsewhere. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth where moth and rot doth corrupt. What we have for yourself treasure where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So work willingly.
Whatever you do.
All right. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord. Let me get from, please give me from verse 22 so they can get a clear view of what the Lord is telling us in relation to secular work, right? Verse 22, then you go to 24. Slaves, well, we can change slave because that wasn't that day in time. We can change slave to employee. Employee, obey your earthly, we can use the word employee, right? Employee, obey your earthly master in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Then 23. See what he was talking about? Secular work. Work willingly as whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
Amen. All right, look at the next verse now. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. So when you work at a secular job, you're getting a salary plus you're getting a reward. Amen?
Yeah.
An inheritance as your reward. And that the master you are serving is Christ. So that's why if you're a Christian employee or an employer, if you're an employee, you need to treat your employee properly, right?
Yeah.
If you're an employee, then you need to work as this worker's unto the Lord.
Yes.
So you're singing, you're praising. So what happened to him? What happened to her? Well, like, where did they be? So they still have given them a heart. They were still like, singing and praising the Lord. Why?
Amen.
And I'll show you why. Why you need to do that? Why you need to do that? Good. So you do it as unto the Lord. The secular work. So what about when you think when you're at your home now? Especially those of you that are housewives, or any of you working in your home, you should do that. You should do that unto the Lord also.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Whatever you do it unto the Lord. That's why when we're going to some ladies' home, they got it real good. Amen?
Yes.
Things are they properly, you know, they clean and they pack the things correctly. So this is my, in other words, they're treating it professionally, if I should use that term. You want excellent, amen?
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 Amen.
So when you're doing housework, you do this unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. So when you come to church, how things should do that work?
Unto the Lord.
Huh? And in some cases, you know, you think more seriously. Okay, you know, you're more God conscious. But it's the same thing, right? You're more God. This work has got to be done for the Lord. And thank God, as some people, they put that. I notice them, right? And sometimes you need to commend them. And something I recommend that people say in the partial or what say, well, everybody, you know who you are, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you do, it goes on to the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
And some people, they work and they show the work and they see excellence in it. Amen? Some people, when they're doing something to the Lord, they're right. They want to do excellent.
Amen.
When I'm doing something to the Lord, I'll say to the Lord, sorry, Lord, I can't do more than all of that. Huh? You ever come to that place? Lord, I can't pray anyway better because there's only prayer enough for free. Lord, I just can't do any better because I don't have anything else more to give. Right? You give everything and say, Lord, that's it. And that's what the Lord is looking for. It might be other people's best, but if it's your best, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what the Lord is looking for. Amen? Now, so When this work is being done, it should be done to the best of our ability, or we should do it. We should do what we can for the Lord. And I'm gonna go back to Mark 14, 3 to 6 and 8. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil and spinard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there was some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, right? Now, 300 denarii, which was equivalent in 2003, so I don't know, maybe more now, it was equivalent to $10,000, right? And given to the poor. So, for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, which is equivalent in 2003 to $10,000, and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Now, that's a tremendous gift that she gave to the Lord here. Amen? And how some of them consider to be. Said, why was this fragment all wasted? Amen? But we know what we're doing to things for the Lord is not wasted. Even if you give a cup of cold water, yeah, you will not lose your reward. Amen?
Amen?
You see, our eyes is not down here. Our eyes is beyond here. Amen? We're looking to the Lord. And give to the poor and they criticize her sharp. Let me tell you, criticism is not a nice thing. I said criticism is not a nice thing. If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything.
Amen.
Now, I read a book, I get it up on the audio now, audio book. It's entitled, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Even if you're a Christian, there's a man that was very successful. Even if you're a Christian, you should check out that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. He's not mad at a Christian author, but some things he said there, he studied human nature, right? And one, a terrible thing in relation to human nature is criticism. One man was criticizing in England, a poet, and commit suicide. Because some people don't know how to handle criticism. Some could and some can't, right? So you got to know very, very, because words are what? Life and death. The little word says, it's in the power of the tongue. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Praise.
As I'm talking, just remember, Brother Michael, mother's, she's out in the hospital.
Yes, she's out.
All right, I pray for Brother Michael and his wife, and as you told me, and Brother Basim, I pray for them. Praise the Lord.
Came out last night.
All right, thank God. Yeah, so, the power of life and death is where? Tongue. If you can't say something good about some people, you know, before you say something, think. Isn't that so? Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Anyhow, they criticize her. Because, imagine, they criticize her because she did something for Jesus. Anybody ever criticize you because you're doing things for Jesus? And they're coming down for you because you're doing things for Jesus?
Yes.
You don't buy them. I like the words of Jesus. This is something I have in my memory in relation to what Jesus said. He said, let her alone. In other words, leave that woman alone. God is saying to some of you, leave my son, leave my daughter, leave my work alone. She has done what she could, and that is important. You give everything that you have, so when the Lord looks upon you, and people might be criticizing you, people might be saying this about you and that about you, the Lord said, leave her, leave him alone. They have done what they could. You can't do what you don't have the ability to do. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, that's why God gave us a body of people. So when you lack somebody, they might have it. And we need to pull their different resources and use all for the what? For the kingdom of God. If you're not working for the Lord, forget about it. You're wasting your time. And that's so? If you're not doing this thing as unto the Lord, you're wasting your time. Yeah, people might be helping, whatever. Because if you give money to be seen of people, The money you should get to the people will take it and there won't be help. But you don't got nothing to get because you already got your reward because you do it to be what? To be seen of people. Amen? You do it because you love God, you love people and want to help them. Good. So, when you're working for the Lord, make sure you're doing your best for Him. Amen? Secondly, it must be done to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, whatever little or big or whatever you're doing for, make sure you're doing it for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 tells us, whatever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God.
Amen.
Amen? So when you're doing something for the Lord, are you doing it because you love Him? Say, Lord, it doesn't matter what it costs me, Lord. Alright? I'm going to do it for you, Lord. I'm going to do it for you. Did anybody told that woman to do what she did for the Lord or she did it willingly? Did anybody tell her to take that alabaster and pour it on the Lord? I think this as a scripture record, or she did it willingly.
Willingly.
Nobody did to tell her to do it. So you know something, you're wondering what's going on. If a person, if we really love the Lord, some things we see, we can want to do it. Whether people tell us to do it or not. Amen? It's a work of the Lord. Huh? We'll do it because we love the Lord.
Amen.
We're motivated by what? By love. Then it should be done to the glory of God. Whatever we do for the glory of God. It must be done with the right motive. Matthew 6, 1 to 19, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. So if we do it with a wrong, if we do it because we're seen of men, we have no reward to get from God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
No reward to get from God. So whether you're preaching, you're singing, you're playing instruments, you're testifying, or whatever you're doing, make sure it's done for what? It must be done as unto the Lord. It must be done to the glory of God. And make sure you do it because you love God and you love people. Amen?
Yeah.
Must be done with the right motive. So we got to watch now. You see, God don't merely watch, God don't merely look merely on what we do. We look at why we do what we do. That is called motive. Why we do what we do is called motive, right? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why we pray? The pastor said, you know, you're supposed to pray, you know. So, you pray. No, because you love God. You want to talk to God, amen? Why are you giving? Well, you know, if I give, drop my discipline. You keep the money. If you digest your attitude, you keep your money. Amen? You must give because you love God. Everybody is quiet now.
Amen.
Amen.
This I'm doing for you, Lord, not for the church. That's why I'm doing this for you, because your word teaches me to do it. Amen? But it must be done faithfully. Listen, they got some faithful people. No matter what, they're always there. In the good time, they're there. In the bad time, they're there. When the church is on fire, they're there. When the church get in between, there. And when the church got them to the looks, they're still there. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Those are the kind of people you want. Faithful people.
Yeah.
Remember when the Lord gave out the talent? You gave five, you gave two, and you gave one, and the five said, I've gained five more. And the two, I've gained two. What did he say to them? Well done, thou good and rich servant. Did he say that? Well done, thou good and educated servant. Did he say that? Well good, thou good and handsome servant. One word he mentioned. Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. And after time in our Christian life, we're supposed to be faithful in the way we live for the Lord.
Amen.
We're supposed to be faithful in spending time with the Word.
Amen.
We're supposed to be faithful in praying. We're supposed
Amen.
To be faithful in fasting. Even to have yourself. Amen? We're supposed to be faithful to the house of God.
Amen.
We're supposed to be faithful in the service of God. Whatever God, because listen, I don't care who say it or who don't say it. When I stand up before the Lord, all I want to hear is what? Well done.
Well done.
Good. And I want to hear commendation from my Lord. Because I am sure whatever I do, I go on to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Whatever we do, it must be done to help other persons or other people. 4 Peter 4, 11 tells us, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. As the oracle or mouthpiece of God. If any one minister or serve, let him do it as Do it as with the ability which God supply or give. So when you do something, when you're serving, whatever you do, if you speak as an oracle of God. If you minister or serve, you do it as with the ability which God has given to you. Now, how many ability do you think the Lord has given to us to do service for Him? I dealt with two ability, and I want to. I think some account. Remember, somebody said repetition is the mother of learning. I can't remember if that's what they said. But repetition is an important thing. Amen. You need to repeat and repeat and repeat, because something is, you say something one time, people don't get it. You say something two times, people don't get it. You say something, and then divert me. All the time we know, all the time we hear it, but never got it, right? And rather think somebody said repetition is the mother of learning. You know, Lango, that's why you take a lot of children, Lango, learn something. When they go to school, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, 1, 1, 2, 2, 5, 2, 4, 2, 4, 8, 2, 5, and they're repeating this thing over and over, right? Now these days, they got so much of books, right? And that's somebody's in the book. I was amazed. I was listening on television about, I can't remember, there's about 200 people graduate, 200 people graduate from a university or whatever school, and they can't read what they've done, this sort of kid. What's going on? Huh? Like, you just be better which one class, and they have to put them up in the piano. Lango, maybe they change the part of the language. You go to school and you fail, you stay in the class, till you pass and go to the class. Huh? And then after that, maybe they're going to change it because of age. So abilities, each one of us, some you give 5, some you give 2, and some you give 1. But listen, as long as you're a Christian, God has given you an ability. Amen? I said God has given to you an ability. And you need to know that ability and utilize that ability for His glory and the present time. So the first ability that God has given to us, all of us, every Christian, you have this ability. Is that we live in such a way that through our lifestyle, people will be one to the Lord. And in my estimation, serving the Lord for some time now, in my estimation, the greatest means that the Lord has given to us to work for Him is the way we live. In other words, our lifestyle. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 tells us, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them, your husband, do not believe the word, that is the spoken word of God, they may be won over without words by the behavior or lifestyle of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of their wife. What Peter is saying to Christian wives could be applicable to all Christians if we as believers are speaking or preaching to our families, relatives, friends, neighbors, schoolmate, workmate, the gospel, and they're not responding, then live the gospel before them so that through our lives they may be one to Christ. You know what any other means, any other ability that is greater than this? Because we fail here, you're going to fail everywhere else. I don't care how much you can play music. That don't impress me. How much you can sing, that don't impress me. How much you can preach and teach and jump and do whatever. I'm not against jumping, right? I'm not against playing an instrument. I've been around too long to know. It doesn't matter how good you can do those things. If your lifestyle is not matching up with that, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Amen.
Amen? Your lifestyle must match up.
Yeah.
In other words, you must preach what you live and live what you preach.
Amen.
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 That is why, you know, maybe in our kind of a church and how we preach, you might get a big crowd. They come and they come and they get to understand how they're supposed to live and what's not. Maybe back off. I was hearing about a boy who was playing guitar for some, I don't know how many years in the church. I don't know if they're passing youth or not, are youth or what. But I can't wait here. You don't ask somebody about their affairs. And a lady got a child for him right in the church, another member. Now, if I had known, brother, you're stepping down.
Amen.
Amen?
Yep.
Standard is standard, isn't that so?
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
And not my standard, God's standard.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Follow peace and what? Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Thank God. Holiness is still in style. Amen?
Yeah.
Now what the word says, I must move on. Let's say, you know, I wouldn't go through all of these things because we want to get in this one for us. But what Jesus told us? Ye are the what? Salt of the earth. You know what Jesus said? No one, one of the things that salt does, if you put a, well, if you take a handful of salt and put it, it creates thirst, isn't that so? And when people look at your life, they should thirst for what you have. What that woman have and what that man have that is different. Amen? Ye are the light of the world.
Amen.
What does light do? It gives guidance, isn't that so?
Amen.
The word is a lamp and a light. What light does? Give guidance. And we got to ask ourselves, is our light giving guidance to the unsaved people? Sometimes you go and talk to some people in some neighborhood. And you're going to try to talk to them with the Lord. And they're not responding because of somebody who named the name of Jesus. Their life is not portraying what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
All of us, I'm not saying you, all of us got to work on our lifestyle. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people get you vexed. Our only pastors get vexed. Sometimes people get you vexed by what they see and what they do. But sometimes you got to pray like this. Maybe pray in your mind, oh God, help me that I can sin. This is the time now to keep your mouth closed. Amen? You got to know when to close your mouth, you got to know when to open your mouth. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Oh God, help me that I don't sin. Help me to keep quiet at this point. Because that you got angry or vexed. The scripture is going to be angry, but what? Don't sin. Isn't that so?
Yes, Pastor. Amen.
And why? Why I will endure that? Why would I endure that? That whatever myself? God. Gotta hold myself in. Why? Because I want to be light.
Amen.
I want to be salt to those people.
Yes.
I want them to look upon me and must say, listen, I want to be like he.
Yeah.
Or I want to be like she.
Amen.
Lady number one thing I want all of us here to work upon, our lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you fail here, no matter how much good you can sing and you can preach it, but teach them how much doctorate you have, then you're not qualified. You're not ready yet to preach his gospel. Because Jesus began to what? Both. He began to do and then teach.
Yeah.
Jesus practiced and then he teach.
Yeah.
I think that's what the word required. And we got to practice and then teach. Now how we are as human. We like teach and we like preach, but practice what you're preaching. And then preach it and teach it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells us, according to scripture, tells us, be thou an example, think for some integrity. Be thou an example to the believers. We're talking about working for the Lord. We work for the Lord among the unsaved, and we trust God to live in such a way that they want Christ as the Savior and Lord. I'm not boasting or saying anything, but I have people come up to me and say, you know, but of all, I want to be just like you. They have to see something to want to see something. Huh? And what about the believers? When believers look upon us, especially the young ones that come in, some of us are in it for maybe for a number of years. After about 3 years to 5 years, we're supposed to grow up. Amen? Paul expect the Christian in Corinth, after about 3 years, he expect them to grow. Then what kind of example we are to other believers? What kind of example we are? So we gotta watch who we fall in. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, whoever we are associating with, whoever it be, is that person making you a better Christian by associating with them? Or are you going far away from the Lord? So you got to now use the common sense of God and give you the wisdom that God will give you. By associating with this person, whoever they be, Are you becoming a better Christian, or are you traveling far away from the Lord? So, brother, sister, I want to emphasize it for you and me and everybody. Our lifestyle. Imagine if you had a pastor, minister, and you're walking in the neighborhood and you invite people to come to church. Say, oh, that man, there, the man got 3, 4, 5 women. You going to go to the church? You may want to ask you to write the case to me. In other words, the person must have a rep. They must have reputation. They must be reputable. Amen? I know this old time preaching, saying all that. In my drop, I got too many drop of stories. This living, this coming down to earth now. A person, a deacon, a deaconess, a whoever that be, as a member of the church, you're supposed to have a good reputation in your community, in your home, at your workplace. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Good reputation. Don't tell me you can't do it. The word tells us I can do all things through
Christ.
So this is number one. Let it sink in. Number one means the Lord has given us to work for Him. It's our lifestyle. Amen? Some mightn't be able to do a lot of things, but listen, your lifestyle is what impresses me. As a matter of fact, I believe your lifestyle impressed the Lord. So we look and say, that's my son, that's my daughter. They are being salt, they are being light, and they are being an example to others. Amen? And listen, in order to be like that, you got to put up with a lot of things. But then people tell things just for the sake of the gospel, just because you want to be soft, you want to be light. Say, Lord, I'm enduring this. Amen. Just because you want to be soft. Alright, the second one that I mentioned, maybe I'm just going to get to the next one today. I want to reemphasize these things, God's willing, is praying and fasting. Now, I think you know the reason the Church of Jesus Christ is in this deplorable condition today. Because of lack of prayer. And we can add fasting to our prayer. Somebody took a survey, to my knowledge, sometime ago in America, to find out what is the length of time that a minister pray. You know what they came up with? Maybe it shocked some of you. They just spent 5 minutes on average in prayer. That's why the church is in a deplorable situation. What the Lord tells us, men always ought to pray. And I'm convinced 100% that without prayer, we're going to make it. We're not going to make it without prayer. Huh?
Yeah.
If you got a church, especially in America, America is not like Guyana. Huh? America is not like Guyana. America is a different society altogether. People here maybe have a lot of freedom and sometimes they got a lot of money and they want to do a lot of things, right? And if you don't learn to pray and trust God for yourself and the people in the church, that's why every single day I pray for this church. I pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. Pray for this church every single day. Because I know I can't keep you from falling, but I know who can keep you from falling.
Amen.
I want to him that is able to keep you from falling. Only God can keep you from falling.
Yeah.
No man can keep you from falling.
Amen.
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 So we need, brother, sister, to trust and fear for us to live a holy life. You show me a person who prays a lot, and I show you a man who, by the grace and the power and the strength of God, is able to live a holy life. If you're not praying very much, I'm sorry for you. Sorry for you. I pity some people. That's why sometimes you see, you hear about a big evangelist or a big preacher, a big teacher, whoever they are, on the television, and then suddenly you hear they fall. Why do you think they fall? Lack of prayer, lack of having. As a matter of fact, Christianity is not about religion, a church. Christianity is about a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what Christianity. If you have a relationship, then you start living. If no relationship, forget about it. Amen. All right. So praying and fasting. Colossians 4:12 tells us. Epaphras, who's one of you? Right, Paul, the servant of Christ. Salute you. Always laboring. Now, what laboring is? Isn't laboring working? And when you see a person laboring, like it gives you the idea that they're working hard, right? Laboring fervently for you in prayer. God can use us as an instrument to bring the unsaved and even the church. He can use us to bring the unsaved into the kingdom. And he can use us to help the church if only we'll give ourselves to prayer and fasting. When they wanted the apostles So the monk said this to distribute things in the church. I think it's Peter said, no, we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, because only prayer would have kept them at the teaching and preaching of God's word. And I'm going to repeat this story that I read. I'm quoting from a book entitled When the Spirit Fell by George T.B. Davis. A section of this book says, when Bernard Forth began his work among the Indians, that is the American Indians, he had little success. His health became impaired, so he retired from the work for a time. He was offered a pastorate among wealthy and kindly people, and his heart went out in love toward the daughter of Dan Johnson Edward. But day by day, he could hear in his soul the pitiful cries of the poor lost Indians who are so degraded and steep in sin. He made the great decision. He deliberately gave up a life of ease and comfort and went back into the wilderness to proclaim the gospel to his poor Indians. With dauntless heroism, he went from place to place, preaching to various Indian tribes. His tour among the tribes covered more than 3,000 miles through a forest, over dangerous mountains, in fierce rains and freezing cold. And I think you know how he did it? On horseback.
Wow.
Huh? On horseback, not with helicopter and whatever, like with the modern facility at Jeep. 3,000 miles on horseback. I think that's how he did it. As time went on, Bernard realized more and more that it was only through the mighty power of God, the fire falling from heaven, that the hardened heart of the stolid Indians could be changed. So he said, listen, maybe he said, I preach and I preach. I went from place to place and I preach and I teach. The people are not responding. Let me try another ability that God has given to me. Let me try the weapons of my warfare. Let me try prayer. He decided to give himself unreservedly to intercessory prayer. It is said whole nights were spent in agonizing prayer in the dark woods, his clothes drenched with the sweat of his travail. As a result of such intense fervent intercession, it's a little wonder that the windows of heaven were open and the fire fell. Suddenly, the Spirit was outpoured upon the whole region. His first audience there had consisted of 4 women and a few children. Now think about that. We still have more than that, right? 4 men. 4 women and a few children. That was his audience. And the man, like, tiring and walking 3,000 miles in his heart, back, preaching and teaching and nothing happens. I can give myself to prayer. Let me see what prayer can do now. Right? Prayer is a mighty weapon, you know. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but what? Mighty! Through God, to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination, every high thing, exalt itself above the knowledge of God, to bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. You can pray in the Spirit and pray in the understanding. But you see, when you pray in the Spirit, things happen. I said things happen. That's why I'm trusting God. I'm going to teach you about that. Everyone up here, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and with the physical instrument of speaking in tongues. So God gave you a prayer language. So when you don't know what to pray in your native language, you pray in the prayer language. Amen? So God could help you. Now there came a host of men and women who pressed upon him, grasping the bridle of his horse, besought him with intense earnestness to tell them the way to salvation. In a great glad wonder, he looked upon them, and the text that leaped to his lips was hearing his love. Men fell at his feet in anguish of soul. These were men who could bear the most acute torture without flinching, but God's arrow had now pierced them. Their pain could not be cancelled. And they cried out in their distress, have mercy upon me. What impressed Bernard most deeply was that though these people came to him in multitude, now they had he just had about 4 women and a few children, now they were coming to him in multitude. Why? Because he prayed. Some people have all the kind of they have theology and all the Jesus know. But you have a one in theology. That's a great. Huh? That's a great theology. And what to God we get back praying men and women in the church.
Amen.
Prayer among children, teenagers.
Yes.
Amen. Praying people.
Yeah.
Sometimes we sing it, but if you don't get the message, it's only when the saints begin to pray, is then the Lord will have his way. Amen?
Amen.
But we want to use all kind of modern tech. I don't have no problem with modern technology. I don't have no problem with the Facebook and the and iPod and whatever you got and all the things. As long as we didn't have a mic like this, we had a little guitar. Huh? They go to the palm room, what do you think the people got in the palm room? How much do you think they got? Them maybe some of them maybe even got guitar, but they're serving the Lord. Amen? Prayer! As the day passed, he had full proof that the heaven sent or the outpouring of God's Spirit had come. A passion for righteousness possessed the convert. You see, when people to get people to live holy, sometimes it's a problem. Problem. But a passion for righteousness possessed the converts.
Amen.
And when God's Spirit begins to move in, some people can live. You're not telling them, they don't know what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God is going to help them to live as they're supposed to live.
Amen.
The wretched victim of the fire water and alcohol were delivered. And the Indian camps were cleansed at once from their physical and moral filthiness. They became ardent missionaries of the cross. Sometimes you have a problem in the church now. Or people using alcohol. Huh? You know, when if you want, if the devil wants to get you, you know what he does? You think the devil's stupid? He can use traps to get you into, right?
Amen.
Take a little something. Take just a little something, and then I'll be little, and I'll snap, 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 and I got a whole glass. Amen?
Amen.
And he hook you. See when he hook you there? You know when you catch a fish? They got a way in catching fish, right? You think the devil know all them tricks. So you throw out your line, you catch you, tell a small line and all over the place. Catching fish, right? You throw out your line. Now, this is how you're supposed to do it. As soon as the fish is a bite, you give a nip, so you don't pull in your line right away. You give him a chance. When you see the carp, this is going to right down like he swallowed. Right? And don't something, don't pull right away. You got to pull, right? Get him. So the devil now say, listen, it's just a little fine thing, man. Just take a little fine thing. And he tempt you there, right? And he gets you, and he moving. And eventually when he got you, I was looking at a film entitled, it was a Christian film. I forget. And the man said the person was going to get a shot, maybe a heroin or something. He said, the first one is free. You know why he gave him free? Because once that get into you, the person that get that dose, then come back for more, and then they gotta pay. But the first one is free. Amen.
Man.
My friend might come somewhere on the forest beer, you know, but I can pay for it. Right? When the devil hook you. Same thing with the morality. No, the victim of the fire water that car was delivered. And the Indian camp were cleansed at once from the physical and moral filthiness. When God's Spirit began to move, a lot of things can be put in place. I said a lot of things can be put in place.
Yes, man.
When God began to move by His Spirit, a lot of things going on in church. Huh? It's going to be, when you look something, you see what's going on. Something is shame. And you got to drop your hand. Then you got to drop your hand and say, oh, God, help. Pray. Continue praying. Amen? Effectual fervent prayer for a righteous man, what?
Availeth
much. So, moral filthiness, then they became ardent missionaries. See when the Lord began to move, and now God can see people going to want to work for the Lord. They're going to want to do things for the Lord. Amen? How did all this came about? Because one man was willing to give himself to intercessory prayer. Brethren, if we like David Bernard would use this means of intercessory prayer that God has given to us all, we would see great result, I believe, for the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 22:38 tells us, God himself even says, I look for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap and on behalf of the land. So I would not have to destroy what I found out. Remember Moses? The Lord wanted to destroy the children of Israel. Remember that?
Yes.
Moses intercede and Israel is existing today because of that one man prayer.
Amen.
One man only.
Amen.
And if God could find a person, one man, one woman here to stand up before him and say, oh God, Spare this country, Lord. Oh God, do something for our young people. Oh God, do something in our church. Oh God, we're depending upon you to pour your spirit. When God's spirit get a hold of them, it's going to be a different story. So don't think because you can't stand up before the pulpit and preach and teach and sing and play guitar and oh, you're not working for the Lord. One, two of the greatest means I'm giving you here. Number one, your lifestyle. And second, prayer.
Yeah.
What you're preaching can't do, what you're teaching can't do, what you're playing a guitar can't do, and praying whatever, your prayer's going to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So I want to encourage all of us here to be prayer, to become, should I use the word, prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Huh? If we can only pray, brothers, sisters, you can see what's going to happen in this world. Check, generally speaking, check the prayer meeting. In the churches, generally speaking, ask people how much you pray, and you might be surprised. You can watch for television for 2 hours. Amen? Or 4 hours. But why do you think the devil don't want you to pray? you ever experienced this? Or you ever had any, maybe you had an experience with this? If you ask people to come, let's work with, let's come and do some church let's come do some work in the church. We can do this and do that. People could, listen, they could come from 6 o'clock, maybe go back till 6 o'clock next morning and work in. We built churches when I was in Guyana, you know. Together, the church, we built church at the Maktoum church, we helped build and whatever. And people come and work all night. Call a whole night prayer meeting and see what happens. Call a whole night prayer meeting and see what happens. They will come and they will talk and they will eat and man got no problem. You know. But the most important thing, prayer, not there. But how are we going to win this battle? So you don't, I'm not get opportunity when you don't get an opportunity. You live a life of spirit and pray. You could be a praying person. See what God can do. God is going to do. You see, after I got saved, you heard my testimony. I wasn't very educated. They didn't know what to do. But they used to pray. When I said pray, pray. I would pray. And God said, all right, I can take you and make you something in my kingdom. And that's how I become what I am today, because I learned to pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So, brother, sister, I'm going to give you one more and stop here. I have about 11 different means, the Lord, but these are the most important. This foundational, your lifestyle, your prayer. Amen.
Amen.
You can add fasting to your prayer. A third one. I'm going to finish with this one. Giving. A third means our Lord has given to us. The witness is through giving. For our third John 1:5-8 tells us, dear friends, in the Living Bible, you are doing a good work for God in taking care of the traveling teachers and missionaries who are passing through. They have told the church here of our friendship and your loving deeds. I am glad when you sent them on their way with a generous gift, for they are traveling for the Lord. And take neither food, clothing, shelter, nor money from those that are not Christian, even though they have preached to them. So we ourselves should take care of them in order that we may become partners with them in the Lord's work. How do we take care of these servants of God and become partner with them? By giving to them financially. And when we give to them, we become partners with them in our Lord's service. That means whenever these servants of God preach and teach the word of God, and people are saved or they're helped, we'll be a part of that. Amen? Now, what does your money represent? Why are you saying go to work? When you go to work and you work a whole week, and you just want people to tell you, oh, thanks for doing a good service to me. Huh? Now, let me face the fact. I'm being very practical now. when you go to work, was one of the main means you go to work to get a salary. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Come on, isn't that so?
Amen.
Oh, that's all. We work as auntie Lord and everything, but when the weekend comes, we want a salary. We thought, oh, you going to need to. Now you're going to pay a house rent, and now you're going to pay a mortgage. You need money, isn't that so?
Amen.
Amen. So what does your money represent? Your money represents your ability. It represents your time. It represents your strength. Everything that you are, so to speak, in that sense, it comes out in the form of a reward, your money. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? So when God says, you know, I want you to give your tithes and offering, you can take out one-tenth of that now. and give it to the Lord. Because who gave me the strength? Who gave me the ability? Who gave me life? God said, no. You give me 1/10 back of whatever you get. If they work $100, $10 belongs to me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me in your tithes and offering. Amen? So when you give that, you're saying, God, I recognize that you're the person, so to speak, that give me the ability, the strength, and I give him back this to you, Lord. I give this back to you, Lord. So when you give your money to the Lord, don't think you're working for the Lord. You're working for the Lord. How do you think the work of God is being supported? This is how God ordained it. Through the giving of God's people. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
So when you give, you're working for the Lord. And that's a very important aspect of working for the Lord. Amen? Or if we have the building fund, we're trusting the Lord to have a property. Not for us. It won't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Amen? But be the Lord's church. And I was praying and I was praying. God, my God, tell me. Tell me what. I praise the Lord. And we said, give us a certain amount of money. But a thought come to me, you know what? I prove God already in many, many ways. Hard. Listen, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord to give $100 a month. So when the year comes, at least we can give $1,200 towards this. We're not millionaires, right? We're not rich. We can do it $100. We can help out my son and grandchildren in Guyana. We can help them, some of them, put them in school and whatever. So no! I'm going to decide us from this month, $100 going. Then apart from a tithes and offering, this is going for building fund. And I'm going to testify to you and tell you how the Lord blessed in relation to that. Amen?
Amen.
Now you must know whatever God wants you to do. Amen? And whatever you want to give. I was praying and this thing come to me. I was thinking about giving 1,000, but then they think, another 1,000. Give 100. Now I'm not giving it to the church. Whatever you do, it goes unto the
Lord.
And not unto men. So when you're giving, three ways. I have many other ways I can show you that you can work for the Lord. But these are three ways I want you to work. Let us work on our lifestyle, our prayer, and our giving. Now, if you can't give to the Lord, then it shows something. When a man or woman is committed to the Lord, they don't mind giving to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Will a man rob God? The Lord said, you can rob me and the tithes in your offering. Do you know that? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But knowing we love God, like that woman with the alabaster box, we say, Lord, I give this freely, Lord. I'm sorry I can't give more because, you know, I have my own expenses. I'm one person who won't tell people to listen, to give this. I put on something early morning, I put on a television show to before I come to church sometimes, and sometimes I store it up. As soon as man get in front of the thing, all I can say, well, we need to give a special seed, $1,000. I got $1,000 in special seed for him. I got this is what I got to do. I mean, you said, God, tell me, do that, I do it. But nobody influenced me to give money when the big come, now I ain't got food feet. And I ain't got rent for people, whatever. No. God got laid upon my heart, and I can give that. Amen?
Amen.
I ain't tell people how much you give, whatever God laid upon your heart, you do whatever God wants you to do. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
And listen, we're going to get that building, not because of me, but because of God. Hallelujah. When we're in Makhdum, trust God, we build the pastor ourselves. We have a big church. We got a big church. We went to Enterprise. We didn't have very much. I don't think we had very much money. We buy the Kali church. We put up a church here. God is good. So let's work on these three things. Amen, Marin? We continue. Alright, we might have a divert because we have the Easter service coming up. But let's work on these three things. All of us I'm talking to, let's work on our lifestyle. Let's work on our prayer. And let's work on our giving. Right?
Amen.
But it's not only money you can give, you know. You can give your time. You can give your talent. Amen?
Yeah.
And there are other things. I'm gonna go into a little more detail about those things. So let's meditate on these things. And trust God that we'll get them operative in our lives. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.